We thank you, Lord, that you reveal yourself. You have revealed yourself through your creation and through your word, through this Bible we have. And we thank you for it, Lord. Father, we ask you to bless this service, Lord. We ask you to touch people in their hearts and minds, spirit and soul. Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts and change our lives. And we pray this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. We welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church this morning. I'm Pastor Dean Odell. Welcome those visiting with us. We have several visitors this morning from different places. So some drove a good bit. So that's several hours. So we welcome you. We welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio and Facebook and, goodness, YouTube and however else, but we welcome everyone. Anyway, we're going to continue with part two of a series this morning on end-time Bible prophecy. I didn't really have a name for it because I started last week with the eclipse and the sign and the sun, moon, and stars from Revelation 12. But we're going to enter into now, getting into Daniel and the book of Revelation. We're going to start because there's several beasts. So I'm just going to call this the end time beast. We're going to deal with a few because there's actually three beasts mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, there's four mentioned in Daniel, but they come together as one, and we'll see that in just a minute. But I want to show you today how these Bible prophecies, these visions that God gave Daniel and the Apostle John, how they are literally coming to pass right now. We are in these days. So this morning, first of all, I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 2 is where we're going to start this morning. And I guess I ought to turn there myself. This will all make sense as we get through it today, because today we're going to talk about the first beast, and that is the seven-head, ten-horned beast. And anyway, let's go to the book of Daniel. Goodness, let me get there. I need to move some things around here. Daniel chapter 2. Now, he's not going to be able to put the whole thing up here on the screen this morning for you, so you need to turn your Bible to it, to Daniel 2, because I want to read a good portion of this. In fact, we'll just start at verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke for him. I have a bit of a ring, so you can turn me down a little bit. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream. My spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. You know, people love to criticize Trump, but boy, this is a tough king right here. Here we go. Verse 6. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. And the king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see that it's gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree. And, of course, he goes on to just tell him. So we all know that Daniel comes. Daniel asks, and he asks for, you know, people to pray, his brothers and fellow Jews there. And he said, pray for him that God would reveal the secret. So God reveals the secret. Now, we'll skip on over to that part. And he tells the king, it's not from me, this is from God, the interpretation from God. So we're going to move down to verse 31. And Daniel tells him the dream. He says, thou, king, saw us, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, and his breast and his arms of silver, and his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet of iron and clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out with hands, which smote the image upon his feet, and were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, and there was no place found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So he told him about this great image he saw, with the head of gold, the arms and the breast, chest of silver, the waist and thighs up here of gold, of brass rather, iron. Then down here, the feet with 10 toes were iron and clay. Then he saw this stone come out of heaven and hit this statue at its feet and destroyed it till it was no more. And the stone became a great mountain that filled the earth. So Daniel tells him the dream, and he tells him the interpretation thereof. So it's not up to us to interpret. This is what he says. He says, verse 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, he hath given into thy hand. and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar, or as well as Babylon, that he represented. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest that the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest iron mixed with clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in these days, now remember this, so he's worked his way down through these kingdoms that will come. But when he talks about the feet with the ten toes, he says, in these days, when you see this kingdom with the ten toes, the feet and the ten toes combined together, he says, when you see this, verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand. We know that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is called, what? The Rock. He is the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense. So this is a picture of kingdoms that would basically gain control of most of the world until we reach the end, until we reach the second coming. Now, let's just work our way down through this real quick so you understand who this is. Of course, he tells us this is the head of gold is Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. But then the second, he says, there's going to come a kingdom after you that's inferior to you that's going to take over this kingdom. And that was Media-Persia. And what's interesting, Media-Persia are basically two countries together. And that's why you had two arms. But it was inferior, but it came and overthrew Babylon while Daniel was still there, in fact. And ruled the world at the time. And then after Medo-Persia came the great Grecian Empire with Alexander the Great here. That takes you into the 300s BC time period. And then another kingdom rose up that was stronger than all these kingdoms at the time. And that was the legs of iron, which was the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire, the reason I believe is represented by the legs of iron, because it lasted longer than these kingdoms, much longer. And that brings us down to the feet and the ten toes. Now, according to most people, they'll say the Roman Empire ended around 200 or so BC, AD. But really, there's debates on that time period. It's really irrelevant because what happened was the Roman Empire did come to an end and it fell apart, but they changed their military and political garments into religious ones and became the Roman Catholic Church. How many of you know that the Roman Emperor was called the Pontiff? Y'all know that? That's why a lot of those things get on over into the Roman Catholic Church. But it says here, you notice that there's iron, the Roman Empire, and then in this feet, this last kingdom, he says, will be iron mixed with clay. Now, if each element represents a different kingdom, then what he's telling us about the feet with the ten toes down here is that it's going to be both Roman Empire, what was the old Roman Empire, and some other kingdom mixed together, but they won't necessarily, they will come together and they work together, but it's not going to work completely. Now, I'll share with you what I believe. You can decide if you agree with it or not, but I believe that the iron represents in the feet, another kingdom down here, represents, as many call it, a revived Roman Empire. Now, the classical or traditional interpretation of this is that the Europe is the Roman Empire, or the European Union is the revived Roman Empire, and that's it, and that the Antichrist will be a European, and he will rule from Europe. But if you look at an old map, you'll find that the Roman Empire included Europe, the Middle East, and North Africa. And so because of that, I believe the revived Roman Empire, the final kingdom, will be a uniting of both the old Roman Empire, the European countries, and Muslim countries. I believe the clay represents Muslim nations of the Middle East and North Africa. And so that's why it says they will mingle themselves together, but they're not going to work real well. You see this mingling going on, don't you, with the uncontrolled immigration going on in Europe now, in England, France, Germany. Oh, yeah, they're mingling together, but it's not working too well, is it? But let me make it clear to you that this final kingdom of Satan, of the Antichrist, the New World Order, as it has been called, this thing, they understand that they're going to use the Muslims as basically their foot soldiers to get some things that they want to get done. But just remember, he says, that this kingdom, once it comes together, the ten toes, as we're going to see, represent ten kings that shall arise. Just put that in the back of your head, because this is the first time this concept appears about the end times. And we know that this is together and the end times, this final kingdom, when the stone, the rock, the Lord Jesus comes back and destroys it all and sets up his kingdom. Now, let's show you that Revelation 17, 12 through 14, we're just going to look. I want you to see when he talks about the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings which have not received a kingdom, but for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They will have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war against the Lamb, that is the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is the Lord of lords and the King. With him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. But let's go back. Let's go down to Daniel chapter 7, because this theme is repeated, except he's going to show you four beasts. And this is all very important, because I'm going to show you that it makes a lot of sense. So Daniel 7, let me go over. We're going to read from the beginning. So y'all, I hope you have your Bible out. I want you to read with me. He's not going to be able to switch in the program. We can't really switch back and forth real well. I put this scripture up because this is a key in the passage here, Daniel 7, 17. But let's read this, okay, from verse 1. Daniel 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. Now, this is a dream from Daniel the prophet. This is God giving him a revelation here. Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my dream by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strode upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. And behold, another beast, a second like unto a bear, and it raised itself up on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said unto it, arise and devour its flesh. And after this, another to a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Remember that. And after this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and iron teeth, and it devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. It's the ten horns, ten toes, ten horns. What do we find out in Revelation? These are ten kings that shall arise. He said, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them a little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, his horn with the eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. Now let me say this. The 11th horn, the little horn, is Antichrist. We will cover him in the days ahead. Verse 9, he said, I saw these four beasts that rose up, and I held till the thrones were cast down in the Ancient of Days. This is the Lord Almighty, Yahweh, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, it, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, judgment, the judgment was set and the books were open. And then he says, and I beheld because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, even until the beast was slain and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, I want to pause right here because I want to say this. There are three beasts, I'm going to tell you, in the book of Revelation. The beast with seven heads and ten horns, as you're going to see, this is the world government that's coming, I believe, via the UN. I'll show that in a minute. But there's also going to be a man called the beast who's going to lead this thing. He is the 11th horn, and I believe it is a real man that's coming to be the Antichrist because it says his body, he will have a physical body, and it will eventually be given to the flames of hell when Jesus returns. He will die, he will be killed, and Jesus will put him in the lake of fire. So he is a real man. So there is an Antichrist world government, and there is an Antichrist man that is coming. Now, there's many that have been had Antichrist spirits, but there's one final Antichrist coming. Now, the third beast, as you're going to see, is the false prophet that assists. He facilitates both the beast world government, and he helps the man that becomes the leader of that. We'll deal with him in the weeks ahead as well. He's the one that speaks as a lamb. I mean, that, well, it appears to be like a lamb. He has two horns like a lamb, but he speaks as a dragon. I'll just tell you, it's the Pope, but we'll get to him later. So he's talking here, but he says that there's these four beasts that rise up. And then look at verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And this speaks of what's going to happen at the second coming in the millennium, when Jesus begins the millennial reign. And I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man, that is Jesus, come with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of these things. So Daniel's like, what are these four beasts? What is all this that's going on? And he asked for the interpretation, and he does receive part of it. Because this is key. Verse 17 is key to understanding this. He says, these great beasts, which are four kings, also representing kingdoms, which shall arise. Everybody, you need to see that. Because let me tell you, the traditional teaching you'll get about this passage in Bible schools and seminaries is that the lion is Babylon, and the bear is Media-Persia, and this is Greece, and then this is the final kingdom of the Antichrist. They make this huge step. Say that that is not what he's talking about, because he says here, these great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise. Not, that means, what is shall, everybody? Right. They're not here now. So Babylon had already fallen at this time that Daniel wrote this. Babylon had fallen to Media-Persia. So these two were already in place. If you're going to count those as Babylon and Persia, they were already in place. So you can't do that. Let's remember this. Daniel 2 is one vision of the end times. It's like one end time gospel. It's telling you a story, taking you to the end. Daniel 7 is another end time story, taking you to the end, giving you more information. Just like Matthew gives you more information than Mark does. All right? Two stories there. Daniel 8, Daniel comes back and really deals with something that's going to happen in the near future in his life, because he talks about the he-goat and he talks about Ram. That's Media-Persia and Greece fighting together. So the Media-Persia and Greece are in Daniel 8. So Daniel 7 stands alone. Right? It stands alone. It's telling us a story of the end time. All right? But he says, these are four kings which shall arise. And I believe these are four end time kingdoms that would be in the earth in the last days. Now let's look and see if we can identify them. All right? So here we go. The first it says, was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. So let's look at this. Was there a kingdom come about in the last days that's still here that's going to be part of, as you remember, it says that the beast in the end, the world government beast, will speak with the mouth of a lion. So the lion has to be here in the end. Is there a kingdom that symbol is a lion? Yes, it is. The symbol of England, the British Empire. And it's been that way for many, many centuries, going way back. It's interesting that this here is the crest or of the House of Windsor. Notice it has a lion standing on its feet like a man on his back 2 feet, standing up just like the Bible says. I believe that this lion, and of course it was once said that the sun never set on the British Empire because it was so vast, so powerful, such a mighty world power. And still to this day it is. I mean, England is a nuclear power. Probably MI5, MI6, two of the most, you know, entrenched spy agencies in the world. But anyway, the British Empire was known as the empire on which the sun never set. So let's keep going here. One of the reasons I believe that also believe that the lion represents Great Britain is because it says the lion had eagle's wings and those eagle's wings were plucked out of it. Well, there's a country symbol's an eagle, right? Living in the end times here. What is the most powerful nation on the earth and symbol of the eagle? The United States of America. Where did we come out of? England. And is it an accident that it just happens to be, because I believe God's hand has been on the Bible to protect it throughout and preserve it throughout the centuries. It's interesting, the book of Daniel, when they put in, and you got to realize God was guiding everything, when they put in the chapters and verses, the verse ended up Daniel 7:4. And when does America declare to be separate from England? July 4th, 1776. Coincidence? I don't think so. Everybody wants to know where America is in Bible prophecy. Here we are. We were plucked out of the lion, which is interesting. We'll get to that in a minute. And I know there's a lot of people out there, well, America's been part of helping to form the beast and all that. Yes, but you'll understand more of that later. All right, let's keep going here. The second was the bear. And it's told the bear he was to rise up and devour much flesh. Of course, everybody knows who the bear is, right? And in the kingdom, that would be Russia. Russia's known as the Russian bear. Did this bear, once it came to power, once it raised itself up one side, did it devour much flesh? I mean, kill millions upon millions of people. Yes, once the Russian Empire was overthrown by the communists, the Bolshevik Revolution, 1917, it raised itself up on its communist side and began to destroy. And, of course, it killed millions and millions of people and began to, after World War II, began to take over most of Europe. All of this is key here. And see, the second beast, the bear, and it raised itself up on one side. It had 3 ribs in the mouth. Between it devoured much. And so these 3 get together here and begin to divide up Europe after World War II. And, of course, Russian communism really saw its greatest growth, taking over country after country after country. And, of course, killing millions through the communist revolutions they fostered both in Russia, in Asia, and particularly in China. They are the ones that, you know, pushed Mao into what he was doing. So you see how it fits. You see, I'm not making this up. This is history. These are facts. These are not my ideas. These are facts. Now, remember Daniel said in Daniel 12 that these things would be understood until the time of the end. I believe really that this last century, last 120 years, I can show you more Bible prophecies being fulfilled concerning the end times than you shake a stick at. It's unbelievable. But God, he wanted this entire generation to know that we were racing toward the end. These all were signs here. I remember when I was a young man, I was probably 19, 20 years old, and when I first read Daniel after rededicating my life, the moment I read the bear, I knew it was Russia. I didn't understand the rest of it at the time, but the moment I read that, I said, that bear's Russia. I knew it. It was just, I believe, just the Holy Spirit trying to guide me in the right direction, even when I was young, you know, 30 years ago. All right, let's keep going. Now, the four-headed leopard gets a little more complicated. Of course, the traditional idea is that this was Greece, because when Alexander the Great died, and I guess many think he was poisoned, but when he died at 33 years old, his kingdom divided into four parts. All right, now that's revealed in Daniel 8, but that's not what this is talking about. Remember, I believe this is end time kingdoms, and I believe we can identify this beast. But remember, what did we see with the lion with the eagle's wings? What was representing this? You know, lions don't have wings. So what was it showing? It was showing two nations combined together, and when the eagle's wings were plucked out, those were two separate nations. These four heads show dominion. They show authority. I believe the four heads are four times this beast has tried to take authority over its region of the world. And it has two sets of wings on its back, which I believe represent two nations that have basically controlled this particular beast. Now, who do I believe this is? I believe this beast is in union. All right, and there's a reason why. Now, let's go to the next one here. When I say that, I mean a German-dominated Europe. How many of you know there's been four times in history that there's been attempts to unify Europe, the countries in Europe, and it's always been dominated by Germany attempted to do it, and France usually working with them in some fashion. Not always, but you'll see how this comes together. This is why I believe that God picked the leopard, and this is the leopard connection. This is right here. Here's an article. This is August 17, 2011. The UK Daily Mail called Germany's financial rise power over Europe the rise of the Fourth Reich or the Fourth Kingdom. So, again, not my interpretation. Here's the world telling you that there's been four times that Germany has come to military or economic power over Europe. Quattro Reich. There you have it again. I mean, she's putting up, it's almost like she's putting up the Heil Hitler, isn't it? And that's an evil woman right there. Chancellor Merkel has repeatedly argued that the only way to restore confidence in the under-fire single currency in the long term is for the Eurozone countries to show budget discipline, concede sovereignty to achieve greater fiscal integration. Concede, it's always concede sovereignty, other nations to come together and let them control things. Let's go on. Here are ancient symbols of Germany. Of course, this is a German flag. One of the symbols of Germany is an eagle, and it's actually a phoenix, which represents Lucifer, but I can't explain everything right now. Also, one of the states responsible for the, you know, dynasty. So there's leopards all scattered throughout German. These are black leopards and other ones, but anyway, they're throughout this. But there's another reason that I connect this leopard to the European Union. The German-made Leopard 2A5 tank. You know, the Germans build good machines, very good machines. They're smart people. They build great machines. And so as they've been allowed after World War II, after the fall of the Berlin Walls, you'll see in a minute, and as they've been allowed to economically expand and militarily expand again, which they weren't supposed to after starting two wars. Anyway, they've come to promise building tanks and armored personnel platforms, and it just happens to be called the Leopard. Well, guess what? All these countries, European countries, Austria, Denmark, Sweden, Switzerland, Norway, Greece, Spain, Portugal, Finland, and Poland, to name a few, all buy their tank and armored personnel vehicles based on this Leopard system. So literally, these European countries are driving around in stuff called Leopards. Is that a coincidence? No. So, now think about this. These are four beasts, right, which shall arise. When did the European Union unite again? It also 1957. The Roman Catholic Church pushing the Treaty of Rome. Then in 1993, the Common Market. And then more recently, we saw the Lisbon Treaty that united Europe. Now, what you're going to find out is it's very interesting. It's a very detailed, specific fulfillment of prophecy that what you saw with the Brexit, England leaving the European Union and not joining in, that is a direct fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Let's keep going. Now, the symbol of France. If you do your homework, you'll discover that what were the two countries that facilitated, joined together first, and facilitated creating the European Union or the uniting of these countries and allowed the rise of Germany again. The two countries were France and Germany. They're the leaders in putting together the European Union. Well, remember, one of the symbols of Germany is the phoenix, a bird, and the symbol of France is the rooster. So you have the two sets of wings on the leopard with the four heads. Oh, it fits so perfectly. All right, let's keep going. Let's just give you another picture of the leopard. The Economist saying France faces the future with blindfold on. I love it. Again, here's a picture of the four heads of Germany. This was the First Reich, the Holy Roman Empire under Charlemagne, the Wilhelm, Second Reich, Hitler's Third Reich or King Rule, and then the fourth is the European Union, dominated by Germany, both militarily and financially. Let's keep going here. Now, those of you in here, you can turn to Revelation chapter 13. This would be good here because we're going to deal with one of the biggest misnomers, one of the biggest misunderstandings that I've heard in Bible prophecy over and over again. And part of the problem was the Left Behind series. Not only is that problematic because of the pre-tribulation rapture, but it's problematic because it gets so many things wrong. Everybody talks about the Antichrist, the man, is going to receive a deadly wound, and it's going to be healed. The Bible does not say that. Please let that sink in. It has never said that, because I've never seen a man with seven heads get one of them wounded. Y'all ever have anybody in here seen a physical man with seven heads? No. If you have, we need to pray for you. All right. I want you to notice something. Remember we saw these four beasts in Daniel 7? Count the heads. You got a leopard with four heads. You have a bear. Right? You have a lion. And you have what? What did I leave out? Bear, lion. Oh, yeah, final beast with the 10 horns, right. So you got seven heads. Notice by the book of Revelation, the beasts have come together or they have united. Because we see this weird beast. Let's read it. This is Revelation 13, 1 through 3. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea having seven heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the names of blasphemy. They speak against the God of the Bible. They speak against Jesus Christ. They speak against the Word of God. They blaspheme. That's what comes out of their mouth. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And he had the feet of a bear. And his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The dragon is Satan, the devil, Lucifer, the old serpent. The dragon gave him his power and his seed and great authority. Look at what it says. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. One of his heads. One of the world government heads. Wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Well, one of his heads. Well, let's look at it. We've got this leopard. You jumping at me. You got this leopard. Let's back up real quick. It is Germany. But you got this leopard. So we got Germany, dominated European Union. You got the four heads, the rises of Germany. They're leaders of the leopard body. The head of the lion, England. The bear, Russia. And then this one right here. It's interesting. I mean, this is pretty much your UN Security Council. We'll look at that in a second. All right. But you got this leopard. So let's look. He's got four heads. Let's see which one was wounded to death. Of course, it was the Third Reich. The third head was wounded to death in World War II. Germany was completely destroyed by the Allied forces, including the United States, Britain, Russia was involved. And I mean, when I talk about deadly wound, it was destructive. I mean, these pictures won't do justice, but Germany was left in ruins. Not only was it left in ruins, but it was divided into four parts. Great Britain took control of one part, France took control of one part, the United States took control of one part, and Russia, the communists, took control of another. And what did they do? Quickly therein, they built the Berlin Wall and divided the country, and it became a great war between East and West, the Cold War, centered right here in Germany. It's interesting because they call that wall, not just Pastor Dean, but they called that wall the deadly wound. Let's keep going. When it said his deadly wound was healed, or, you know, the wound of one of his heads, is Reagan there and saying, tear down this wall. Look at 1989, the Berlin Wall falls down. Let's look at it. Look at the magazine here. They called the Berlin Wall Germany's unhealed wound. Isn't that interesting? So it was torn down. The wall was torn down. The Germans prepared to vote. The wall remains a symbol of promise unfulfilled. So, but what happened ever since the 1989 when the Berlin Wall came down? Once the Berlin Wall came down, Germany was reunited. Germany was allowed to become a financial and military power again. So the deadly wound was healed. And it was at this time, President George Herbert Walker Bush, skull and bones, Illuminati, pedophile president of ours, New World Order, world government sellout, the entire Bush family, began to declare that now we have a chance for a new world order. He began these speeches, he began to say this stuff in 1990, 1991, after the fall of the Berlin. Because what they believed was, with Pope John Paul II, their goal was to use this Pope from Poland to unite Europe as an illustration and as a test market to see how they were going to unite the entire world in the days to come. Here's George Herbert Walker Bush. I actually took this from a presidential library website. This is a direct transcript of his speech. He said, this is a historic moment we have in this past year. And this was July 16th. This was the Gulf War, the invasion of Iraq, and really the destabilization of the Middle East in a greater fashion. He says, this is a historic moment we have in this past year, made great progress in ending the long era of conflict in the Cold War. So he's talking about the Berlin Wall falling, that wound being healed, working things out with the Russians and the communists, making everybody think it's kumbaya and everything's going to be fine. But he says, we have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law. Now, when he says that, he's talking about their law. He says, where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, he said, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a
credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN founders. A credible United Nations. Let me translate that for you. That means one with power and authority over you. That means a UN that will do what it wants, become a world government. The UN founders, a lot of people know this. The UN founded was a complete Illuminati satanic operation. But one of the men who was instrumental, I mean, he was one of the leaders of it. Anybody heard of Alger Hiss? He was right-hand man to Franklin Roosevelt. He was a Russian agent, convicted of such. Wrote the charter for the UN. He's a communist. The UN has always, at its foundational core, been a communist totalitarian blueprint for a world government, always from its beginning. All right? Let's keep going. So you had this beast, it's funny, even blue, like the UN. Beast with seven heads and 10 horns. Now let's just keep going here. Let's look at something. Now, I brought up Exodus a moment. I want to show you this. Remember, it says, I saw a beast in Revelation 13 having seven heads and horns, and he said, had the body, and he said it was the appearance of a leopard, the feet of the bear, the mouth of the lion. I thought of this because, you know, I mean, Britain has been instrumental. I mean, Britain is Europe. Britain is part of Europe, right? Yet the Bible was specific that this end time beast, when it began to rise up out of the sea, that its separate nations, that Britain, the lion, would be separate from the leopard. Now, had Britain gone along with the euro, the plan of the euro, they never went with that. And then recently they voted to completely pull out of the European Union. Shows clearly they have distinguished themselves from the leopard. Y'all see that? This is how specific the Bible is. The moment I heard, I said, I knew Brexit was going to go, that they were going to vote to leave the European Union. Because I knew what the Bible said about this. So I knew the leopard and the lion would be somewhat separate. So even in Brexit, you see a fulfillment of Bible prophecy specifically. Now let's keep going. Now, this is where the devil works to try to deceive us sometimes, but if you pay attention to the details, you don't get deceived. I said, I know that the UN is the world government beast, and soon it will take over the world. They're just waiting for the right crisis, probably nukes going off somewhere, a war again. They're already talking about trying to get control of the U.S. because we're in a crisis. If you guys don't know that all of this race war is manufactured, if y'all don't know that, it's manufactured by the forces that be, it's time to wake up because it's all manufactured to make it look like we're in crisis so the UN can come in and take over. But the UN, if it is the world peace, it's got to have seven heads and 10 horns, doesn't it? Well, it's interesting. It does. He said, wait a minute now, Pastor Dean. It's only got 5 members on the Security Council. United States, China, Britain, France, Russia, right? Wrong. Those are the 5 members officially recognized. But when there's a real crisis, like the Iranian nuclear crisis, which is still not really solved, but when there's a real crisis, foreign ministers of the P5 plus 1 nations and the high representative of the European Union meet together to come up with a joint plan of action. Well, P5 plus 1 plus 1 equals what? They add in. The one head that was wounded was healed. He was back in Germany. And then the representative of the European Union, the high representative, the president. See, a lot of people, you don't even know how the European Union works. The European Union has 2 main leaders. They have a parliament and they have 2 main leaders. The 2 leaders is the president. The president takes 6 months or something. But the high representative, once put in position, holds that spot for years. I can't remember now, 6 years or whatever. But anyway, the P5, that's the five members of the Security Council,
UN Security Council,
plus one, Germany, gives you six, and the High Representative of the European Union gives you seven. Seven heads. So let's see. They have seven leaders. Do they have 10 leaders below them? Oh, yes, they do. Does the Security Council made up of the permanent members, five, plus the P5, plus one, two, so the seven, and it has 10 nations under it that rotate. Let's look at it. This is from the UN website. The Security Council tells you here the council is composed of 15 members, plus Germany, plus European Union head when they have a problem, serious problem. But they say, look at here, and 10 non-permanent members elected to two-year terms by the General Assembly. So right now you have 10 nations, Bolivia, Egypt, Ethiopia, Italy, Japan, Kazakhstan, Senegal, Sweden, Ukraine, and Uruguay are now serving as the 10 horns. Seven heads, 10 horns. Did you make this stuff up? Can't make this stuff up. It's mind-blowing. Everybody get that? Everybody see that? Is Pastor Dean making it up, or is it right in front of our faces? Now, in the days ahead, hear what I'm saying. In the days ahead, the UN will morph into a more cohesive, controlling world government. They're not full there yet. They're working on it. They're going to get there. This ought to send chills down your spine. Here's a U.S. president. This is what the United States President George Herbert Walker Bush said when addressing the United Nations in 1991. He said, quote, "It is the sacred principles enshrined in the U.N. Charter to which we will henceforth pledge our allegiance." It's a United States president. Complete, utter disregard for the Constitution of the United States and our legal freedoms. Let me tell you, the UN wants to take your guns, your free speech, everything away from you so that they can enforce peace. What's the Bible say about the Antichrist and his kingdom? By peace, it will destroy many. It will claim to be promoting peace. Daniel 8, Daniel 11. By peace, it will destroy many. Here's just a few quotes. James Paul Warburg, father, helped form the Federal Reserve, Illuminati, satanic families. What does he say? He stated this to the U.S. Senate on July 17, 1950. We shall have world government, whether or not we like it. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. Trust me, I believe the days are coming that most Americans are given in to the media and the lies of the world, and they're going to give in to it without a fight. Walter Cronkite, he made this statement in a speech in 1999 to the World Federalist Association. You might as well just call that the World Government Association, because that's what it was. It's one of the oldest and foremost organizations promoting world government. And he stated this, and I listened to this myself. I've listened to this speech on several occasions. So this is word for word. It seems to many of us that if we are to avoid the eventual catastrophic world conflict, we must strengthen the United Nations as a first step toward a world government with a legislature, executive, and judiciary, and police to enforce its international laws and keep the peace. To do that, of course, we Americans will have to yield up some of our sovereignty, meaning give over control, our freedom, put aside our constitution. It would take a lot of courage. It would take a lot of faith in the new order. We cannot defer this responsibility to posterity. Democracy, civilization itself is at stake in the next few years. We must change the basic structure of our global community from the present anarchic system of war to a new system governed by a democratic yen federation. Are you saying this? Or are these people? Now, Christopher Walter Monken, he worked for Margaret Thatcher, a European politician, British politician, but he's not for the world government. But this is what he said, reading the UN Climate Treaty. He said, I read that treaty, and what it says is this, that a world government is going to be created. The word government actually appears as the first of three purposes of the new entity. The second purpose is to transfer wealth from the countries of the West to the third world countries. And the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement. Not just any government, mind you. They were about to impose a communist world government on the world. This is not a Christian preacher. This is a British politician. This man here was Congressman Larry McDonald from Georgia, held the seat that Gingrich held for years in that district. This man was, what was he, a cousin or nephew? He was related to General Patton. But he couldn't stand communism and socialism, and he knew the agenda of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the New World Order crowd. This is back in the 70s and 80s. He stated the drive of the Rockefellers and their allies is to create a one-world government combining super capitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control. Do I mean conspiracy? Yes, I do. I am convinced there is such a plot. International in scope, generations old in planning, and incredibly evil in intent. This man would have been president of the United States, but he was killed. A Russian aircraft shot down an entire airliner because he was on it. Korean Airlines 007. And killed this man who I believe would have been president of the United States in 1988 or possibly 1992. He was very popular, very well spoken, very American. He loved America. Let's keep on going. Here's another sellout. This is Richard N. Gardner, Foreign Affairs Magazine, going all the way back to 1974, folks. Now, some of you have heard me talk about this before, but listen, he said, in short, the House of World Order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the bottom up. It will look like a great booming, buzzing confusion, to use William James' famous description, but an end run around national sovereignty. Eroding it piece by piece will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. Of course, for political as well as administrative reasons, some of these specialized arrangements should be brought into an appropriate relationship with the central institutions of the UN system. Everybody see that? These are your political leaders, Foreign Affairs Magazine. People are members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Here's a few more. He was president of the Council on Foreign Relations. Richard N. Haas stated the goal should be to redefine sovereignty for the area of globalization to find a balance between a world of fully sovereign states and an international system of either world government or anarchy. Council on Foreign Relations, just remember that. This guy, Mr. Strobe Talbott, Deputy Secretary of State, Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton's best friend or one of his best friends. They were roommates in college. He said in Time magazine, in the next century, nations, we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. National sovereignty wasn't such a great idea after all. These people who serve Satan and serve this agenda want a world government. And the Bible says they're going to get it. They're going to have it. It's coming. Let's keep going. Gates, this is more recent. The article, January 28, 2015, Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world, calls for global government. The billionaire claims world government badly needed to save the earth. Let's keep going. Vatican, surprise, surprise. The Vatican had been calling for world government since the 50s. I got quotes from Pope after Pope after Pope calling for the UN and the world government. So the Vatican called. This is an article. What's the date on this one? October 25th, 2011. Let's keep going. Vatican aligns with UN on world government, 2015. There's the new Pope Francis with Ban Ki-moon. Just went out as Secretary General of the UN. Here's where it gets interesting. This brings us into the present right now. All this uproar in Charlottesville. Now, everybody, I'm going to be, I may get in trouble just like Trump, but I'm going to say it. Racism exists on all sides. It does. He didn't lie when he said that. I mean, goodness. Marlene's Hispanic. She's even told us, even within her family, that are all Hispanic, there's racism between different things. There's racism all over. White people, there are white people are racist, and black people are racist, Hispanic people are racist. We have racists in all races. We got to stop thinking we don't. And get racist, whether white, black, Hispanic, or whatever, some do bad things they shouldn't do. Right? Do we all know that? Okay. There is racism. I know there is. The whites that hate blacks, blacks that hate whites. Yes, it's real. Not denying that. But this stuff, what y'all aren't getting is there were eyewitnesses that saw buses lined up and Black Lives Matter and white supremacists getting off the same buses. And all of this uproar is so the United Nations can do this. They want to take over. And I'm going to tell you something. Trump has his faults. He got a lot of problems. He is not a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination. But one thing that I did like about him, he understood what they were about. He talked about it in his campaign, getting us out of the United Nations to stop fighting the United Nations. And I'm going to show you where a few months before Charlottesville and before this UN warning that the U.S. is moving into crisis and we're going to have to step in with peacekeepers. Before this, months ago, the UN realized they weren't going to be able to deal with Trump and Trump talking about deflating them and pulling us away from them. So this is their plan B. And I'm telling you, under Obama, y'all don't know, many of you don't know this, but they were shipping in UN people and UN vehicles and UN troops and armored vehicles. They were shipping it in. People were getting pictures of it on back of trucks across America. It's undeniable. We've seen the pictures. We've seen the videos. I'm sorry. It was being done. And the deep state, even though Trump became president, the deep state still controls most of America. He is at war with the deep state. And what you don't know is they want to create the crisis in America to bring in the UN troops so they can ship me and you into their FEMA camp. UN committee notes failure in U.S. leadership to reject racism. Look at this. After UN warning over race, America against the crack. Shocked by the warning is to have thought of the U.S. as a superior civilization in the first place. Trump era bigotry is not a blip. Pretty much about six people own all the media companies in the world. That's why you'll hear the same words come out of them. But let me show you the one that really got my attention. I happened upon this one just last night. I thought when I saw this is Politico. Notice the date. June 27th, 2017. So a couple of months ago, before Charlottesville, before the UN issues this, that the United States is, oh, failing, our leadership's failing, and oh, we got to step in. This article begins to declare the UN's giving up on Trump, and you know why? It had nothing to do with racism. It had to do with money. Since taking office in January, UN Secretary General has done his level best to build a decent working relationship with the new administration. He has kept criticisms of the White House nationalist agenda to a bare minimum while pleading with Washington to refrain from deep cuts to the UN budget. See, Ecclesiastes says money answers all things. 1 Timothy 6 says what? The love of money is the root of all evil. So President Trump is saying, you know what? The UN's not for the United States of America. They're against our Constitution, our freedom. He knows their agenda. And he said, we're going to stop giving money, and we're not going to support you, and we're going to pull out of doing business with you. And so what do? They come up with Plan B. And I'm telling you, the UN is run by satanic, Luciferian, Illuminati communists who are fully on board to create a world government and rid the world of true Christians and the state of Israel. Now, I'm going to deal with Israel in the day ahead, but I've never seen more Israel hating in my life. Going on. Can I just state for the record that I understand there are evil Jews? But guess what? There's evil Americans. There's evil tea preachers. I'm saying just because some are evil and part of the plot doesn't make the whole thing bad, doesn't make the whole group bad. Then if we lump all the Jews as evil, aren't we being racist? Aren't we being prejudiced? Aren't we just making one group of people just the devil? It's ridiculous. I understand there's bad Jews. There's bad Americans. There's bad Russians. There's bad people. But I've been to Israel, and there are many Jews, and they're real Jews. I know there's people out there that believe the lie, that there's not real Jews in Israel. Do you know that? There are real Jews in Israel. If you say that, I'm just going to tell you, if you say there are no real Jews in Israel, then you are speaking directly against the Bible, because the Bible says, God said, I'm going to bring the Jewish people back to their land in the last days. So if they don't exist, they don't believe your Bible. So don't call yourself a Christian and tell me, oh, there's no real Jews in the land of Israel. Yes, I'm sure there's some fake Jews, but there's real ones too. And I've done the studies. Look, I've been doing the study on the genetic stuff. If you get down to the details, just I don't have time to deal with everything in one message, but I'll get it. Trust me. Just because I mentioned Israel in the positive light, I'll get the hate mail from the Jew haters. But let's keep going here. I'm getting close to ending here, and I actually can't believe I've done it this quick. The white horse of Revelation. He has taken over. Now, the four horses of Apocalypse is the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the king says the pale horse, but it's the green horse. The Bible is clear in Zechariah 6 that the four horsemen are evil spirits in the earth. We know what they are. They're evil spirits with evil ideologies and plans for the times. They're part of the destruction that is released. But these things, the concept that these things would start only when tribulation starts is not in the Bible. That's just man's speculation. These things started back a long time ago, but we're seeing them come to fruition now. They're coming to full maturity now. Now, I've said before, it's pretty plain. The pale horse, the green horse, is Islam. Sacred color of Islam is green. The black horse represents economics because he has a pair of boxes in his hand, and he talks about food coming outrageous, particularly wheat and barley. The red horse is clearly communism that has a great sword and takes peace from the earth. Who's the white horse? Well, there's the people out there saying, oh, the white horse is the Antichrist. Where does it say? Bible doesn't say. You don't add to, you don't take from. What is the white horse? He says he has a bow in his hand, no arrows. Appears to be a government, appears to be, right? He has a bow in his hand, crown on his head, and he goes forth to conquer. Conquer, what are they, what's the thing about anyway? Conquering the earth, taking over, taking control. It's always about control. The white horse says he goes forth to conquer. Conquer what? the world. Why white? Well, the Council on Foreign Relations, one of the Illuminati organizations to influence all of our politicians with the idea of world government and ceding sovereignty. The Council of 13, all these different groups, but this one, isn't it interesting? The Council on Foreign Relations, one of their chief goals is world government through the UN, and that's their symbol, that's the logo. What is that? White horse, isn't it? With a rider on it. Huh? Yeah, there you go. Picking it up, only showing the left eye. Oh, man. Folks, they put this stuff in our face. They put it in our face. And still, how many Christians, mind you, are blind and don't realize how far into this we are already. The white horse. Oh, UN in Syria. UN in Paris. UN private plane for the Secretary General. Oh, the UN vehicles and stuff spotted here in America.
What?
There should be a protest over that.
No. This is what we should be protesting. This is what we should be fighting. Because this is what's coming to take away our freedom. This beast with seven heads and 10 horns. This white horse,
it's coming. Mark my words, and this is a warning.
Things will progressively get worse and worse in America.
These groups being funded by people like Soros and the Rothschilds and everybody else are going to continue to cause upheaval and violence, and there's going to be staged people getting killed. That whole thing, I'm telling you, the whole thing in Charlottesville. You want to talk about this KKK, white supremacist, whatever, what? If that's what you want to believe, fine. You know what I believe? Government agents, what I believe. Yes. Paid protesters, deep state government agents, that know the agenda and know the plan. They're on board. And some of you think Obama's gone away. Or the Clintons have gone away. or the Bush family. Listen to me. I'm telling you. The Obama, the Clintons, the Bush family. They're working together. For Satan, it is not black and white with them. It's world government. It's domination. It's control. It's to serve their master Lucifer. That's what it's all about. Why do you think Bill and Papa Bush were like this? They're thicker than thieves. And pedophiles. And Satanists. Nope. He's going to be right in there with him. Well, trust me, he'll be back. Antichrist. A lot of people. Nope. Sorry, I don't believe that at all. Will he be involved in the system? Establishment? Oh, yeah. He'll be involved. He may end up being one of the 10 permanent kings, et cetera. You know, they have the world broken up into 10 regions, too, they're ready for. It's true. There's some weird, freaky stuff going on. Here it is. Now I'm going to close with this right here. Listen to this. This is your beast with seven heads and 10 horns. This is it. And what did he say? When you saw this thing, when you saw this kingdom, remember where we started? You have any doubts that we are in the end times, that we are the last generation? If you have any doubts, just remember the statue that we started with, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's statue. The feet, the final kingdom that had the 10 toes. That's when the rock came and destroyed. See, we should have no doubt or no question about
that we are it.
UN. When did the UN come to power? You know when the UN came to power?
Really before the UN, it was called the League of Nations.
Right. But the UN came to power 1946. Think about that. Yeah, and they tried. And here's another one, just for you. You want to bring up the League of Nations? Let's bring this up. They talk about the beast. Some people talk about the beast dying and coming back to life, right? Well, the United Nations was the League of Nations. The League of Nations died because the U.S. didn't join and because Germany wouldn't join at the time. So World War II started, the League of Nations disbanded because it was a failure. But then they took the framework of the League of Nations and created the United Nations after World War II. So in a sense, the beast did die and did brought back to life again. You can see this imagery of Scripture throughout this whole thing. But hear me, this is my end right here. I'm going to let y'all go. And we're going to have a baptismal service here. So after church, you're welcome to stay if you want and be with us. But let me say this. This is happening, y'all. It's happening right in front of you. So what you got to do, you say, well, Pastor Dean, what do we do? Well, let me tell you. Get your head out of the sand. Get your head out of the holes you stuck them in. It's time, first and foremost, to make sure that you're dealing with all sin and compromise and lukewarmness and worldliness and getting it out of your life. Repenting, asking God for forgiveness, letting the blood of Jesus wash you clean, and telling the Lord, true repentance, I'm done with this world. Because this world and this world system, the economic system, we haven't touched on the mark of the beast. But this world system, the mark of the beast, it's all going to be about pledging allegiance, submitting yourself to a world government and a money system that's coming. You're going to have to make up your mind that you're not going to do that. But see what's happening right now. There's a lot of people saying, well, I won't bow to the beast. I won't bow to the UN. I won't pledge allegiance to the beast. I won't take the mark of the beast. But most of you, a lot of you already are. Love the beast. You submit to it all the time. You watch its trash. You listen to its trash. You love its trash that it puts out to you and feeds you. Pornography, lust, violence, death, perversion. What I'm saying is, if you're going to be able to stand against the beast in the future, you better start the whole spirit and the whole system now. I'm talking about all parts of it, in the medical system, in the financial system, even within the church system. There's many churches that are going to go right along and march right in and take the mark of the beast and pledge allegiance to the UN flag just like they do the United States flag. Except it won't be under God anymore involved in that pledge. It's coming. You know, when the time gets here, you know what they're going to do, don't you? All these sleeper cells that are in our country, Muslim sleeper cells, North Korean sleeper cells, Chinese sleeper cells, anarchist sleeper cells, they're going to just cut them loose. I think there was a movie when they flip the switch. Because all you got to do, little Kim Jong Funky Bone, move one of his little submarines over here, hit San Francisco like he's put out in the video. Chaos will ensue. Ignite all these sleeper cells, communist, Muslim, so on and so forth. Create total chaos so you can bring in the solution. Create the problem, then you bring in the answer to the problem.
Tell everybody, we're gonna let the UN come in, go through and confiscate everybody's weapons, restore order, peace. They're gonna help us. Here's the sad thing. Not all, mind you, but a great portion of U.S. police forces, even a lot in the U.S. military, have been brainwashed and trained and beaten into them to accept this when it comes. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, you say, well, Pastor Dean, I don't like hearing that because I like to live in my little American bubble. Well, you know, so go back and look at the pictures of the way Damascus, Syria looked in the 1960s before the globalists decided and the Muslims and everybody decided they were going to try to overthrow it, so they do with it what they want. It looked like an oasis in the desert back then. And now it's just rubble. Well, that was Syria, Pastor Dean. It's not the U.S. These same evil people, the plans they've had for Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, they have for us. Say, well, Pastor Dean, we're in the UN beast, aren't we? You know, Trump's talking about pulling us out of the UN beast. Remember something in the book of Daniel that not a lot of people talk about. It talks about there being seven heads and ten horns. But it talks about when the 11th horn, the Antichrist, when he comes to power, it says he will pluck up or subdue three kings. The word in the Hebrew gives the connotation of crippling or hamstring. So three nations will be crippled or subdued when Antichrist comes to power. Now, if you were going to have a world government power, pretty much European and Middle Eastern, to rule the world, what three powers crippled? You got it. China, America, and Russia. And like the movie Sum of All Fears said, you don't get, he said, the neo-Nazi in the movie said, you don't, he said Hitler wasn't crazy, he was stupid. Now, I disagree with that. Both. And demon-possessed. But, he said, you don't fight America and Russia at the same time. You lose. He said, no, you get America and Russia to fight each other. So the whole plot of the movie with Mr. Morgan Freeman and Bennifer was to detonate a nuke with a Russian isotope signature in America so the U.S. and Russia would fight. They're going to do it again. You mark my words. Some of you don't even know there's missing nukes. Y'all know Britain has missing nukes. America has missing nukes. There's nukes. We don't even know where they are. And then we got nations like Pakistan, so unstable with about 80 to 90, 100 nukes any day. One could be sent on a little ship into some port somewhere in America, detonated. And even if we got a true isotope signature on it, if they told us the truth, I mean, we don't even know we get the truth now, do we? Just remember, and this is one thing that's been coming to my mind again and again and again. Very, very few things are as they appear on the surface. If the media is pushing it, it's a game being played. I even thought about this fight, you know, Mayweather and McGregor. That was even a game being played. It's a game. Distraction. They're like, well, we're going to get, I'm telling you, some powerful people said, got it together an office and said, we're going to get these two to fight. We're going to make it look like they just trash talked each other. And we're going to make a gazillion billion dollars out of this. And we're going to laugh while we smoke our cigars and drink our brandy in fancy penthouses. It's a game. It's all a game. It's all to make money. Foolishness. Time to get your eyes on Jesus. Amen. What we're going to do this morning, or now afternoon before we leave, I want to do. And you know, this morning, everybody was so subdued in here during worship. I want us to really worship the Lord for a minute. Let's worship Jesus for a minute. And let the words of this song settle in your heart that it's time to wake up. It's time to quit letting the lust of the world draw our eyes and our attention. It's time to let Jesus truly be so in our life, to be truly the one we love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to love God and hate sin. We need to hate anything that would try to take us down or take us away from God. As I said, break up with the devil and give him back his stuff. I don't want his stuff. Amen. Those of you here, if you need to repent, if this is the morning you say, you know what, Pastor Dean, I've been lukewarm, I've been worldly, I've had my eyes on the world and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, I've been letting the world bring some kind of satisfaction, evil satisfaction to my flesh, and I've been lukewarm, and I need to repent. I want you to step out of your seat as we work with this song. I want you to come down here because repentance and confession, the baptism of John, repentance is what it was. It says they came being baptized in front of everybody, confessing their sin, admitting, I have been in sin. I'm repenting. Repentance means admit it and quit it. Confess it, forsake it. If you were a fornicator, when you repent, you quit fornicating. If you're an adulterer, when you repent, you quit being an adulterer. It's not complicated. Jesus will forgive when you repent. It gets washed away when you repent. You don't believe me? Read Acts 2. Read Luke 24. Repentance for the remission of sins for repentance. Or repentance for the remission of sins. What is remission? Repentance and the taking away, the washing away of sin. So many people, listen, so many people call themselves Christians, and so many people are in church today who think this, who think, oh, God's just going to overlook what I do. He knows I got this little thing on the side. God's going to overlook this because he's going to weigh good. I'm not as bad as some of these people. And you know what? Jesus loves me, so I'm going to make it to heaven. And the whole time God's saying, repent. Confess your sin and stop it. Start walking with me. Start putting me first. Then he tell him, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I say? Amen? All right, let's worship with this song. If you need forgiveness, you need to repent, I want you to step out and come today. Anyone who comes, we're going to pray with you today before we leave. Go ahead, brother. Healing.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you have given us truth. We thank you that you have warned us about Lord, we don't have to be in doubt, curiosity, wonder. You've made clear to us that we would recognize the generation, that we would prepare ourselves to the true gospel of Jesus Christ, to repentance, to faith in his atoning work on the cross, his sinless blood to wash our sins away, and the power of his resurrection. God, I pray everyone here, everyone listening and those watching and those who will, that if they have not repented and been born again and truly made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives, that they will do so. That they will not submit to this satanic, blasphemous world and system that's coming in, this beast system. God, we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you learn something today?
Sure.
All right. All right. Well, you guys know the drill. We don't take up an offering here. It's just the baskets in the back. If you have a tithe or offering, you drop it in the back there. The only rule we have is that you hug some necks, shake some hands before you leave. Don't just run out the door. Baptism will be in about 20 minutes or so, as everybody can get ready. All right. Well, God bless. Y'all have a great rest of the day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.